Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Redmen TV, welcome to Daily News with me, Ross Chanley and Thomas Dutton. We are here to bring you the latest Liverpool news, rumours and absolute tripe, aren't we, Tom?
Oh, I love it all.
Yeah, but before we do, we've been plugging this all week. We're going to do it again. It's exclusive week over on RedmenTV.com. We have exclusive interviews every day leading up to the big one with Jurgen Klopp. But rather than me bang on about it, Tom, someone's prepared a wonderful trailer. Here it is. So there you go. Go over and start your 3 month on the RedmenTV.com. An absolute belter of a lineup there. It started yesterday with Jordan Henderson. Today was Joe Gomez. Tomorrow is Virgil van Dijk. Not only that, you get bags of content. It's already over on the website. And if you start now, start your 3 month now, should I say, you get the taste of Redmen TV, what it's like in a proper season. So now we've done our plug. So really sorry about that. We're going to carry on with some news, Tom, and with the title, Dybala's price has dropped.
Dybala's price has dropped. This according to the Daily Mail, obviously you can see on your screen. They're saying that if United want him, then Juventus want, basically, they value him between 70 and 90 million. Well, they've got that figure. Who knows? Tuttok Sport were valuing him at 100 million. Where they got that figure? Who knows? I mean, it makes sense. 70 to 90 million for Paulo Dybala. Fantastic player. I mean, he's being linked with United here, but I mean, you brought it to my attention this morning. It is interesting. Would you go for him for 70 to 90 million? Let us know in the comments. What's
it's interesting that they value him at that, to be honest. I think it's quite a lot, but you think about the players that they've got in their side and the people that they brought in. Obviously, they brought in Aaron Ramsey, they brought in Rabiot, they've already got, like, obviously, Ronaldo in there from last season. Their forward line and midfield line is incredible.
Yeah.
So he's obviously, I don't know, maybe surplus to requirements, and he's looking at that going, what kind of game here? But it also just ties in really nicely of, like, Liverpool need that creative midfield that everyone's crying out for.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. We said there's loads of, oh, I'll say Chamberlain, if he's, how good he's going to be when he comes back from injury. Is that a risk worth taking? That's the one. When you're going for the Premier League again, you know, you want to bridge that gap. So,
and Jurgen Klopp's apparently still looking for people. Obviously, two journalists, Chris Bascom, and I can't remember the other one, apologies, but two respected journalists, I can't remember the other, sorry everyone, but two journalists have come out basically and said, we are looking for players, we are in for players, we will sign a versatile forward, blah, blah, blah. So that could be one. Jurgen Klopp himself has said, right here, we are still looking, but it will not be the biggest transfer window of LFC. It will just be a transfer window. We will see what we do, and if we haven't done anything by the end of it, it will be for different reasons. It is about using this team. In the transfer window, you have to build a team that you think you want to go into the season with, but I have that team already. Look, he said that so many times. He said that to us when we interviewed him after Tranmere and after Bradford. Said it after every single US thing. They are looking. They're not stupid. If a big player comes along that would be good for this team, they'll get him in. But I think you've got to agree with him. We do have a good squad there. Obviously, I was in the comments of all, yesterday's news show, and everyone had very valid points saying we need to push on, blah, blah, blah. Why can't we push on with this team is my argument, but I understand everyone's argument to the contrary of saying get someone in now.
It comes back to that being worried about, you know, I said before, of Chamberlain coming back and, you know, Adam Lallana playing a different role and stuff, and people aren't really sold on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and Liverpool and Klopp are very clever in what they say. So sometimes they say stuff and you have to take it with a pinch of salt, going, well, maybe they're more reactionary to the window rather than being proactive, because they don't see the need to just go and get someone for the sake of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If the right deal or the right player comes up, someone that they've probably been scouting, turns out to be available, they can do the right deal, they go, yeah, we'll do it. And if they're not, they've shown they're prepared to go and wait for it.
And we already know, after pre-season, we already know we've got a new fantastic number six in Adam Lallana.
the fume in the comments. I can see it already. It's like the Matrix.
I'm being called every name under the sun.
Should we move on to a different story to cheer people up?
Oh, go on.
All right, I put this in here because I just burst out laughing. So if you're drinking something, put it down. Former Everton manager Sam Allardyce said he hopes Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp has learnt his lesson over the intensity of his training sessions. He said, personally, I hope he's learnt his lesson from when he first came because he did the pressing job and he got about 8 to 10 injuries. If you think you train at high intensity, you play at high intensity, you're going to burn players out. I was speaking to Alex Ferguson at a golf too.
Speaking to Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say, like, you know, he hopes he's learned his lesson. And it's like, he's just won a Champions League and got 97 points in a league. Yeah. What fucking lessons is he supposed to learn now from someone who's got Bisto tits and got sacked?
He did sort of learn his lesson in terms of he lowered down the intensity of the press. From when he first came in, I remember when he first came in and he'd obviously just told the players, run at them, and we didn't have any semblance of team pressing, you know what I mean? But when we carried on, it goes on to say in the rest of this article, where the writer has his opinion, the writer was Andy Branigan, so yeah, go and read it, yeah, he gives his opinion. But I think it's one of them where he did lower the intensity, we chose when to press last season, we knew we could sit back, we knew we had, we know now we have the counter, it's so versatile, a counter-attack, that we can counter from up the pitch, which is what we used to love doing. We can now counter from in the midfield, we can now counter from centre-back when Virgil van Dijk sprays a ball over the top, or John Matip sprays a ball over the top, or Andy Robertson gets a throw from Alisson Becker, runs up the pitch, we get a corner, that corner leads to Divock Origi sticking it into the goal to win the Champions League. You know what I mean? There's so many different ways for us to score goals now. I think that high press had to happen. It's got us to this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And shut up. Sam Allardyce.
I'm all right with anyone saying it, but I don't take advice off Sam Allardyce.
Talking on TalkSport about fucking Jurgen Klopp's tactics when literally he came to Anfield with the worst Everton side I've ever seen in my life. Fair enough, he got a draw, but from a dive. I mean,
From Allardyce. I love this story. This is from The Echo. They did an exclusive. Ian Dawes sat down with Jurgen Klopp, and he kind of spoke after what happened after the Champions League. And there was a moment that Henderson, after the Champions League, said that he wanted Jurgen Klopp and James Milner to go and lift the trophy with him, which I love that nice little touch of, like, I mean, that was his massive moment, of, like, going to go and lift it, and the fact that he's had the thought process to go, actually, you know, used to are so influential, you know, behind the scenes, come and go and do it. So I'll just read this out. Henderson was told, when he asked James Milner, under no uncertain terms, this is a quote from Milner, if anyone other than you lifts that trophy, then they're getting fucking wrestled to the ground.
I genuinely love that. You know what it is, no? Because Jordan Henderson has spoken out to so many people in terms of his performances on the pitch towards the latter end. And if it would have lowered that, you know, like the way now that everyone can go, oh, Jordan Henderson isn't the best player in the world because he hasn't won anything, he's not done this, he's not a good captain for Liverpool. Now you can just go Champions League, and it's that picture right there of Jordan Henderson, him lifting that trophy. It's the way he did it. It was just a release. It was emotion for everyone. And the fact that he can spearhead that, the fact that he can stand at the front now, and we can put him alongside all these amazing captains. All right, maybe he's never been as good as Steven Gerrard. Doesn't matter. He's a European Cup winning captain. He deserves that fully. And look, he's right in terms of James Milner was the second captain and pretty much the captain while he didn't play because he was out for a lot of the season, he didn't play, and he's right in saying Jurgen Klopp should have been there. But you know what, I'm made up, they've both turned them down. I've made up, they've gone, no, this is your moment, mate.
Well, funny you mention it, apparently he asked Steven Gerrard, Gerrard goes on to say for a photo, and Gerrard said, no, this is your moment. I'm like, just nice people being nice.
But they realise just how much adversity he's fought through.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that have, all right, backed him and gone, look, you deserve criticism sometimes, you do, and there were some performances where he didn't put it in, but the amount of stick that he got throughout the years was just too much, I feel, and the fact that now he can hold his head up and just go, I've done this, I'm the guy who's lifted this Champions League trophy, and now we have ammunition. That was the one thing we never had with Jordan Henderson, was ammunition to give back to people when they said he wasn't good enough, and you go, but he's now...
He's changed his role, and it's almost like he was always a good footballer.
Exactly. He's gone back to when we bought him, and he's playing that way.
We'll move on. Nicolas Pepe, we spoke about yesterday, Tom.
I love it when you say Pepe.
Pepe's been poo-pooed.
It's Pepe, isn't it, everyone?
But, no, because there's...
I know. No, you're right. You are right, yeah. But
No one else says like, it's just me.
It's like you're going, hey, hey, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's been dismissed. Magical Firmino at Klopista tweeted on the 23rd of July yesterday, it's time to announce Nicolas Pepe to Liverpool. Don King just replied, no, it isn't, and it never will be either.
Putting his neck on the line.
Yeah, and there's a couple of reports that came out, and Liverpool are reportedly to believe that they're using Liverpool as a marketing tool to say, well, Liverpool are interested in, to kind of hype up his profile, hype up the interest in him. And it's like, it's frustrating for Liverpool fans, because I think that's another player that we've spoke about before, going, he's the attacking flair, you can support the front three and come on him, and there won't be a massive drop off in quality. And then it's just been destroyed. But there's the conflict of, we spoke about yesterday, the foreign journalists and the UK journalists being told different things.
Yeah, no, it is weird. I mean, let's just run through the next few stories quite fast. Liverpool's cashing in on Ovie Ejaria. So basically, they don't want to loan him out again. They want to sell him for just get him off the books. It makes sense. He's not really being in or on the side. He obviously wants to further his career. Brentford are ready to make a bid, it says here, 3.5 million. Quite low in terms of the rest of them, but I mean, look, if he's not wanted at Liverpool, it's just about getting him off the books. It makes sense. Do you wanna say this one?
Yeah, so Sepp van der Berg hasn't played any of the pre-season games, because he's still waiting for international clearance. You'll clarify this up in a minute, because I know you've done some research on it. So obviously, you know, Liverpool's signing of the summer so far, or maybe the whole summer. He hasn't played, and it's frustrating, I think, because I would love to see him. Like, he's been involved in training. You know, he's walked around. He saw him with Jurgen Klopp. He's a big, massive lad.
Yeah.
Massive talent. You know, we fought off big side to come get him in the team, and it's frustrating because we can't use him.
It is. I mean, I found the actual international transfer from FIFA just to figure out exactly why he would be able to get it.
You've been researching minors against him.
Protection of minors, exactly. So basically, the stipulations, international transfers of players are only permitted if the player is over the age of 18, he's 17. The following three exceptions to this rule apply. So the parents move to the country in which the new club located, there's not for reason. Blah, 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 you can read it. I don't think it's going to be that one. I think it's going to be number B, which is the letter B, which is going to be the stipulation which lets us use him. Basically, it's saying we need to provide an adequate football education. We need to guarantee that he'll get schooling. We need to guarantee that he'll be looked after, getting accommodation, blah, blah, blah. And all the proof that he's getting that. I think Liverpool are going to be fine in terms of getting all that. They're just trying to get all the paperwork together. He probably needs a house. He needs all this set in stone before we can get all the legal applications sorted.
I'm sure Liverpool would have been aware of that before they started. Exactly. And then obviously the final story of the day
is
Tom
here.
Dutton,
sorry.
Is former Liverpool defender Mamadou Sakho is suing the World Anti-Doping Agency for £13 million because he believes that's his worth. Value and earnings that he's lost because he effectively ruined his Liverpool career because he was...
Because the substance thing, wasn't he? Higanamine. Yeah. I mean, it was bad when he got basically, he missed the final, didn't he? The Europa League final, I believe it was at the time.
I don't think it was the only reason. He was a bit of a dick off
him. He was, but he would have played in that team, I feel like, and it was a big blow for us at the time because he was a first teamer.
He missed the Europa League final because of the ban, and then he missed the Euros in France.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It was the Euros, not the World Cup. Would he be in the captain for France?
He
was in great form at the time, and he would have been playing for France in his own country, and he missed it because these people fucked up, so you can see why he's annoyed about
it. Yeah, and £13 million for the loss of wages at Liverpool and blah, 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 I guess. It's quite funny because you said, although talking about Crystal Palace,
his lawyer
said, although this is a distinguished club, it does not have the worldwide reputation of Liverpool with the value this brings to a player. So basically saying Liverpool are better than Palace.
I mean, he's right though, because the £30 million isn't just his wages, it's the reputation that comes with that. So he would have earned those wages, but his reputation would have built up, and he could have sold to another club of a higher calibre, no disrespect to Crystal Palace, and he could be on like more money, or you know, he could have started his own clothes range or something stupid like that. You know, those things have all been shut down because you know, a player at Crystal Palace isn't glamorous, is it?
No.
And for the reason, and then it's all gone wrong for him. So he's quite right to be pissed off. But with £30 million in your back pocket, it's quite nice, isn't it?
It would be nice to get that. Yeah. Si, any comments, mate?
So bit of discussion on the Dybala stuff. So Callum Smith says I probably wouldn't bother with Dybala. He flatters to deceive more than any, and he's a player who's always on the cusp of going to the next level. But Vance McDougall says, yes, we bloody well need him. We need more up front to compete or beat Man City than Brewster or Origi.
I mean, he would be a quality player to bring in.
My only question on that is, if he's that good, why is he struggling at Juventus? And they've got an influx of quality midfielders in that side. But then for his value to drop like that, he's touted as one of the best talents in the world, isn't he? You know, he started for Argentina and stuff like that. So creative midfielder that we're lacking. And I think not even to bring him off the bench to start him in some games, like, you wouldn't turn your nose up at it, would you?
Yeah, stick him in the League Cup.
Yeah, Brentford away to Barley.
There you go, you know what I mean? Northampton Town to Barley. It's one of them. Good player. You can never have too many good players. It's whether he fits the system. If we get him, I'm sure he would. Any others, sir?
Just a funny one. Mr. Smith says, Don King, Reddy, Pierce, Anfield Rap, Redmen TV, FSG Puppets, never ask a difficult question. That one just made me laugh.
Yeah, no, it's true. I am genuinely a puppet for FSG.
X-Viking 6709 says, potentially over 50-55 games next season, then the Euros next summer. We do need more quality depth, and surely a new quality signing can be told he'll get at least 25 games.
Yeah, well, that's it. There is talk that we're in for the versatile forward.
Yeah, and we covered this yesterday. You know, Jürgen came out in comments and he was talking about the fact that there was the World Cup, then it was the Premier League, Premier League, and then you had the UEFA nation dancing a nice world darts fire, whatever the fuck it's called these days, of going, stop putting all these competitions on, like UEFA Nations League particularly, because they put value on it, so these players that are going out there are under pressure, the manager under pressure to start the biggest darts, who need a rest.
Yeah.
And Sadio Mane is a prime example of that. He's going to come back
knackered,
yeah.
After two literal seasons of non-stop football with all the international competitions.
Or suggest that we need someone in that position, let alone the fact that even if he wasn't there, I still wanted an attacking forward, regardless whether he was at AFCON or not. Sorry.
But if you get someone good, they're going to be international squads, they're going to be playing in these games. That's the price you've got to pay.
We'll have more of them.
Exactly, yeah. Have you got one more comment, sorry?
There's a bit of discussion on Sacco going on, actually. People at JR6 says we could have kept Sacco, Klopp could have improved him so much, and then Jojo says Sacco's crap. Tip the Fussy says Sacco was never a Klopp player, he didn't work hard enough and he acted unprofessionally for Klopp. Klopp will have a laugh, but he expects 100% commitments at all times. And then I've lost your comment, but someone said it would have been great to see Sacco and Virgil playing together. It's funny, it seems like so long ago that there was that half a season when we didn't sign Van Dijk in the summer and we were waiting for him in the January, and Sacco had gone and we were bad at the back, and basically everyone was saying Sacco would have been the solution to all our problems, and that does feel like so long ago, and it wasn't that long ago, but look how far we've come in that space of time.
I'm on the fence with Sacco. I agree with all those comments. If he is a good defender, but I don't think he's a Klopp type defender in the system that we play. So playing up from the back, he was never very good with his feet.
He
had a good pass, but he used to kind of bomb forward and throw himself about. I get that, whereas Van Dijk's a bit more restricted, and they probably would have worked well together. But it's all the stuff that's kind of behind the scenes of, like, we bang on so much about, you know, harmony and how good it is in that Liverpool squad at the minute. And they get here, he's having a laugh and stuff, exactly as the comment says. But, like, when he went round the prison and stuff, and he was, like, interrupted the club interview and stuff, it's like, that's when, like, you know, there's a time and a place to dick around.
I forgot all about that. Let us know in the comments, should we get Sacco back? Is he better than Virgil van Dijk? Should he win Ballon d'Or? That's what Ross is saying. Thank you everyone for watching. Obviously go over to the website, check all that out. There's the Joe Gomez one, obviously the Jordan Henderson one's there, and next Monday the Jurgen Klopp interview will be out. Fantastic interview with Chris, so go over there and check it out. We've got loads of other shows as well. We've got the youth show, talk about all the youth in the pre-season stuff, really interesting stuff. We do a Reds transfer roundup on Monday and Fridays. We just finished doing a summer transfer show, talk about loads of clubs around the leagues and what they're doing to bolster, because we're going to be playing against the best teams in the league next season, Champions League. They're going to be trying to knock us off our perch because we are champions of Europe. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching. Thank you, Ross.
Come back tomorrow.
We'll be talking loads more transfer news. Thank you, Shai, behind, and Harrison there, sat on the couch watching. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching. See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.